Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz ve'ha'aretz hayata tohu vavohu ve'choshech al pnei tahom ve'ruach Elohim mirachefet al pnei hamayim. In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth, when the earth was astonishingly empty, with darkness upon the surface of the deep, and the divine presence hovered upon the surface of the waters. OU Israel presents... Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat Bereshit. Recording and first availability. Thursday, the 25th day of Tishrei, 5777, corresponding this year to October 25th of Tishrei, according to the current common minhag. We do not say Tachanun from Erev Yom Kippur through the month of Tishrei, including the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan coming up. I saw, somebody showed me from an old siddur, it could be the older practice, it could be a chutz la'aretz, outside of Israel practice, and that was the one day of no tachanun. After Sukkot is the following day, Isruchag, which was Tuesday, and by Wednesday, yesterday, or in chutz la'aretz, yesterday was Isruchag, I guess. I mean, today you would be saying tachanun, but the standard practice, at least I'm sure in Eretz Yisrael, is not to say Tachanun until the 2nd of Mar Cheshvan. Therefore, according to our custom on the show, we will say Tehillim 121, Tehillim Psalm Kuf Kaf Aleph, rather than 130. Shir Lama Alot, Esa Einai El Heharim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim v'oretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yeminecha. Yomam ha'shemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorecha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor et seitecha uvoecha, me'ata v'ad olam. Achenu kol Beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim ebein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem viyotziyem mitzara liyirvacha, umeafela leora umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv vinomar amen. After that, first order of business is the opening piece of the show. If you listen carefully, a lot of background noise. It was the short account of The Catch, by Willie Mays in the 1954 World Series against Cleveland Indians. Cleveland, of course, as I am sure most of you know, is in the middle of the World Series now. As of this moment, they have split the first two games with the Cubs. So it is 1-1 today, Thursday, a day off. Friday night, they will continue in Chicago for the three remaining definite games. And if they need more, they have another day off. That would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday would be off, and they would go back to Cleveland for Tuesday and or Wednesday, not or, Tuesday and Wednesday, if needed, to finish up the World Series. But in 1954, the New York Giants, the precursors of the San Francisco Giants, played against the Cleveland Indians, and the Cleveland Indians were winning in the first game of that World Series, and Willie Mays made a phenomenal catch in center field and was able to recover and throw the ball in to hold some of the base runners, and the place went wild. That was the pivotal play of the World Series, and it gave the momentum to the Giants, who proceeded to win four games in a row, sweeping the Cleveland Indians. And if the Cleveland Indians now beat the Cubs, then the Cubs, who beat the Giants in the divisional playoffs, and those Giants way back in 54 beat Cleveland, so it's something. What could I tell you? But the reason that I used it to introduce the show is an old corny joke, because that catch was so pivotal that the inning in which it occurred can only be referred to as a big inning. And as we know, that's how the Torah starts this week, in the big inning. So you could groan, but I at least was able to perpetuate a corny joke related to baseball, and I am not apologizing for it. This Shabbat, we bench Rosh Chodesh, Mar Cheshvan, which will be the coming Tuesday and Wednesday. Tishrei, in our calendar, always has 30 days. Therefore, its 30th day, this coming Tuesday, is Rosh Chodesh, and the following day, the first day of Mar Cheshvan, is also Rosh Chodesh. That's how the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh work. What is interesting to note is that Bereshit is the only Sedra that is always Shabbat Mivorchim. All other months have one Parsha that usually coincides with Rosh Chodesh benching of whatever the month is, and an alternative in some of the years. It's a major and a minor kind of thing, but it's never a single Sedra always being Rosh Chodesh benching, except for Bereshit. Now, aside from being a trivial fact of the calendar, there may be something to ponder about it. And that is the fact. Okay, I'll have to hold that fact because I just discovered something. Can't believe it. Happened once before. For the last 19 minutes, not the 19 minutes that you're listening to, since this is only somewhere in the ninth minute, but the last 19 minutes of my recording of the show, I have been speaking into my microphone that was accidentally muted. And therefore, when I finally decided to stop it and save the file, there was a big, big blank piece on the screen, which was filled with nothing. And what should have been filled with was 19 minutes of my recording. So I'm going to try to do it again. And I don't know if I could do justice to it, because I really got into things. And here it goes. So if it sounds like, whatever, let me do it. What I just heard, I had said, and you had heard, at the end, we're talking about Bereshit always being Mevarchim HaChodesh. And the fact that I wanted to add to the trivia is that even though we started this year already with Rosh Hashanah, with Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, with Shabbat Shuvah, with Erev Yom Kippur, with Yom Kippur, with a frantic 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, one of which was Erev Shabbat, one of which was Shabbat, one of which was Erev Yom Tov. It meant one full working day, the day after Yom Kippur, which, by the way, I have to tell you about some other time, or maybe I'll tell you a little bit about it now. I went to the Feast of Biblical Flora and Fauna, held at the Biblical Museum of Natural History in Beit Shemesh, and I had my culinary horizons expanded. I had previously basically only tasted chicken soup, and I had dove soup. I had quail. That was kind of interesting. I had sheep meat and goat meat, which I had never had. Must have had lamb chops one time in my life, but not adult sheep meat, which is called mutton, and goat, never had. And the highlight was venison, deer meat. And the other highlight would have been chocolate-covered locust and grasshoppers, which I decided not to partake of, but my two grandsons who came with me tried them, and they're still around. Anyway, tell you about that maybe some other time. Let me get back on track. So with all that Tishrei was, it really doesn't behave like a month. It didn't have a Rosh Chodesh. We made a very brief reference to the Korban Musaf in the Beit HaMikdash of Rosh Hashanah, which also was accompanied by the Rosh Chodesh Musaf. And that was it. We didn't announce Rosh Chodesh before that Rosh Hashanah, and we didn't say Hallel, and we don't treat it like a Rosh Chodesh, and we don't treat the month like a normal month. So as the month is nearing its end, and we have what can truly be referred to as a new beginning of the year, Bereshit, the beginning of the cycle of the Torah reading, that defines a year for us almost as much as Rosh Hashanah does. So here we are, ready to start fresh. And that Shabbat of Bereshit is always accompanied by Rosh Chodesh benching, which includes the announcement that Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan will be this year, this coming Yom Shlishi and Yom Revi'i, Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday being the 30th of Tishrei, Wednesday being the 1st of Mar Cheshvan. And now we're ready to get down to normal life. The high of the holiday season, the overwhelming power of the holiday season, running the gamut from awe to joy, is now receding, and we're ready to start the normal year. So it starts a month into the calendar year, but it is announced appropriately on the Shabbat that we start the reading of the Torah. To me, that's much more significant than the trivia fact that there is no other month whose Rosh Chodesh benching always coincides with one particular Sedra. That sort of diffuses it. You can't say Chayasara is always Rosh Chodesh Kislev benching, because it isn't. Sometimes it's Toledot. And the same thing with all the other months of the year. The only one that you could say this is totally identified as Mevorchim Mar Cheshvan is Shabbat Bereshit. Now, speaking of the month that's coming up, I need to say something else. And you could check this out and see if you get the same kind of assumption or presentation or whatever. Sometimes I build up to a word and I just can't finish with what word I should be using. I leave it to Mark Gantrow to write to me an email saying the word you were looking for is so-and-so. I think he's done that in the past, and right now it's a challenge for him to do it now. The no, I forgot what I wanted to say. Yes, I was about to refer to the name of the month. I grew up, like a lot of people, I'm sure, thinking that the name of the month was Cheshvan, and that occasionally you would say Mar Cheshvan, and the Mar had the connotation of meaning bitter, because unlike the preceding month of Tishrei, this month of Cheshvan doesn't have any holidays, so it's bitter. I'm not going to call that nonsense, but it seems to be off base. And that's because the name of the month is not Cheshvan. The name of the month is Mar Cheshvan. And the Mar belongs to the syllable Chesh. And if you're going to split it, it gets hyphenated with the Mar Cheshvan. But it does not break up as Mar Cheshvan. I'm not talking about grammatically. I'm talking about in connotation and in meaning. I checked in search programs for Tanakh, for Mishnah, all of Gemara, all of Rashi on Torah, Nach and Gemara, Rambam in all of his writings, and the only name for the month that comes up is Mar Cheshvan. In a later source, I found a first occurrence of Cheshvan, and I'm now convinced that that's an error. That was a shortening, maybe a nickname of the month, maybe the fact that no other month goes more than four letters name-wise. Tishrei, Cheshvan, 4-4, Kislev, 4, Tevet only 3, Shvat 3, Adar 3, Nisan back to 4, Iyar back to 4, if you use two yuds, Sivan back to 4, Tammuz, Av is the small one, with two letters, and Elul, four letters. So that was your range. And here comes Mar Cheshvan with six letters, and it sort of didn't make a nice-looking list. I don't know why it happened, but I am one of those who would form an organization to go back to the original name of the month, which is Mar Cheshvan. When we announce it this Shabbat, it is Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan Yehiyah. When you write a ketuvah, when you write a get, when you write any other kind of Jewish document that requires a date, the month needs to be identified as Mar Cheshvan, not as Cheshvan. So you want to become a purist, call it Mar Cheshvan. What I then proceeded to say, all of this is repeating what I was talking to the wall, or not to the wall, but to my computer without any response. And now that I'm looking at the screen, and I see the voice bouncing up and down on the input level, I realized that for 19 minutes I had been looking at it and hadn't been moving. So, just didn't notice it. I might need to get myself another headphones microphone set, because this one has a volume control on it and a mute button with a indicator light that I just wasn't looking at. So maybe I'll have to put it in such a way that I could see it all the time. And that's the story. So what I think I continued with now, which to me is an important tachlis part of Bereshit, which is why I read in Hebrew and in English the first two verses, not just the first one, because the question is, when did those two verses happen? Or when, what period of time do those two verses describe? What I mean by that is, when it says, and God said, let there be great luminaries in the sky, the great luminary in the day and the lesser luminary at night, and the stars, and to rule over them, etc., etc., it then concludes, Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Voker, Yom Revi'i, and it was evening, and it was morning on the fourth day. And what happened right before that was Vayerev Vayevoker Yom Shlishi. So between, not counting Yom Shlishi and up to Vayerev Vayevoker Yom Revi'i, describes the fourth day. Not getting into the discussion now about whether it was a day like we know what days are, or was it 1,000 years, or was it an unknown period of time. That's not relevant. But what is relevant is, I could tell you, it is Yom Revi'i. Was Yom Revi'i the Wednesday right before the first Rosh Hashanah? I think so. Was it something else? Maybe. Not at issue. What is at issue is when you look at the third Pasuk on in the Torah, and it says, Vayehi Erev, when it says, Vayomer Elokim, and God said, Yehi Or, let there be light, then you ask the same question, when was that? And the answer is what the Torah calls Yom Echad, one day. The reason it says one and not the first day is because the first implies a second, which there was none yet. And therefore, the first day is referred to as Yom Echad, and the second day begins the use of the ordinal rather than the cardinal, or vice versa, of the first, second, third, rather than day two and day three. Again, now you ask the question, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. When did that happen? And the answer that some people give is that was part of day one. I favor the other opinion, that the first two verses in the Torah, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, v'ha-aretz hayata tohu vavohu, and the earth was void and chaotic, or chaotic and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, that describes a period of time, and I use that term very loosely, you'll see why in a moment, that happened before creation of day one, before the acts of creation of day one. How long was that period? I have much more difficulty answering that question. If you ask me how long was day five of creation, when the swarming insects and the birds and the fish came into existence, or were shaped into existence, were formed, that's crucial for, you'll see in a moment, then I have no problem answering day five. But here, we're talking about a piece of time, a chunk of time, can't really say that. We're talking about a blank before day one, and it is only day one with Vayehi Or, that we start counting days, however long they were. Before that, there was an act by God of his unique creation of something from nothing. Creation ex nihilo. Yesh me'ayin. Something from nothing. I call that God's unique creation because his other kind of creation, called yesh me'yesh, something from something, is not unique to him, since we human beings are also capable of creating something from something. If you take Lego blocks and you build a airplane or a house or a robot. You have also created something from something. If you write a poem, an original poem, in some way you have created something from something, but not something from nothing. Only God could do that. So the first two verses, I believe, and I'm comfortable with, belong to an indeterminate period of time. I don't like to say that anymore. That happened before day one. It could have been a fraction of a second, like the Big Bang. It could have been eons and eons and billions of years of creation of something from nothing. And from day one on, God switched from his creation of something from nothing to his forming something from something. And the raw materials of that formation, in Hebrew, Yitzirah, rather than Bria, Bara, creation of something from nothing, Yatzar, creation or forming of something from something. The raw materials of the second phase of creation, the 6 days of creation, the raw materials were the tohu vavohu, the chaotic mixture of everything that was brought into existence from nothing before day one. I know I'm repeating myself, but the whole exercise is repeating myself since I already said this without it being recorded properly. So that's where we're holding. That means that, for example, on day four, the sun was not created from scratch. It was formed, as well as the moon was, and the stars and the other heavenly bodies were formed from different ingredients of the chaotic mixture, the primeval chaotic mixture, and were not only physically formed, but also by the laws of nature. They were given their instructions, so to speak. So what the sun, the moon, and the stars and the planets do, or what we observe them as doing, came about on day four of creation. And the first stage of the creation of the sun was Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. The shamayim and aretz there is a reference to everything. Everything came into existence in the beginning. And then, from verse 3, day 1 began. By the way, I use a program on my computer called Power Sound Editor Free 8.7.6. I don't know why it's still called free, because I paid for the full version of it, and I'm not sure that I'm actually using it, so I have to find out. But that's what I've been using for a number of years. I used to use Cool Edit, and then something went wonky with that, and I switched to this. And it's not without its problems. But when I'm recording, as I am doing right now, a window pops up over the background green on black lines up and down and up and down, which are the pattern of the sound. And this contains a recording console, which tells me my timing. And on the bottom, I have my total timing. And I have, as I said, a input level, which I could control. And I watch two, I guess it must be stereo, but they seem to be going together. So maybe it's not stereo, left and a right, up and down, up and down, up and down. And I try to, I'll try more to pay attention so I won't lose chunks of recording anymore. Now, what I wanted to switch over to is the other aspect of this time of year, and that is the beginning of the rainy season. Now, our beginning of the rainy season is split into two parts. The first part is when we begin to mention that God is the one who brings down the rain, that he is the Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem, and that is inaugurated by Tfilat Geshem, the prayer for rain, which in Israel is on Simchat Torah, which is a single day only, and all of the elements of Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah are rolled into that one day. And in Chutz La'aretz, it is the eighth day, as it is here, referred to as Shmini Atzeret, the day before the Simchat Torah of Chutz La'aretz, when we say Tfilat Geshem. So we started the rain idea. And then comes in Israel 2 weeks later, coming up, not this coming week, but the week after, the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. And the 7th of Mar Cheshvan is when we start asking for rain in our prayer, with the words, V'tein Talu Matar Livracha. In Chutz La'aretz, for various reasons, which I won't go into now, and I'll probably go into when we get closer to that date, is the beginning of December. And that's when Chutz La'aretz starts asking for rain. But this morning I ran into Rabbi Aaron Adler in the street, and I said, got a quick question for you. Do we consider this to be the rainy season already? Now, he started on a long answer, but when I told him what I was looking for, which I'll tell you now, the answer became very quick and to the point. In Rosh Chodesh benching, we refer to a whole bunch of things. We, in the final passage called Yichad Shehu, we say, among other things, here it is, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, renew this month for us and for all his people, the house of Israel, wherever they may be, for good and blessing, for joy and happiness, for salvation and consolation, for livelihood and economic well-being, for life and peace, for good news, and then for rain in its season, L'Geshamim Be'itam, for good health, literally complete healing, Refuah Shlema, and for the Geula, the redemption soon, and let us say Amen. The phrase L'Geshamim Be'itam is said only during the rainy season. So he said, that's what you're asking? The answer is, you definitely say it this Shabbat, when we bench Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, because we started saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem already on Simchat Torah. No question about it. So keep an ear open, and maybe even go up to the Chazan for the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh benching, and nicely remind him that we include V'Geshamim Be'itam, even if they might not. What I want to say about rain is, can get very long-winded, but I lost those 19 minutes, so I'm sort of on a shorter tether now, because I want to be on my way to Modi'in to visit my children and grandchildren there, as I usually do on Thursday. That's part of my routine, which I'm just getting back to. I apologize, by the way, for not recording last week. Last week, Thursday, was Chol HaMoed, and Chol HaMoed takes care of itself, and it was not conducive to recording a show. I don't think I've ever done it in the past. Be that as it may, the details of halacha of Mashiva Ruach Morid HaGeshem and V'tein Talu Matar Livracha indicate that our sages wanted us to take the matter of rainfall very seriously. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Every time there is an addition or a change in the wording of the Amidah, the question is, what if I make a mistake and I don't do what I'm supposed to? And the answer varies. If I have an Amidah on Hanukkah, and I'm supposed to say Al Hanisim, and I inadvertently leave it out, what am I supposed to do? So if you ask a question or you look it up, it'll say, or you will be told, you don't repeat the Amidah. The Amidah stands as is, even without reference to Hanukkah, even though you should have said the passages for Hanukkah, you didn't, leave it alone. Then you have other things. For example, the change from Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. If you blow that one, you have to repeat the whole Amidah. Zachreinu L'chaim, on the other hand, if you leave it out on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or in between, you don't repeat. Ya'aleh v'yavo, for Rosh Chodesh, Shacharit and Mincha, you leave it out, you have to repeat. Meir, if you don't repeat. Ya'aleh v'yavo, for a Meir, even during Chol HaMoed, you do repeat. Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem, if you leave it out and say nothing in its place, and you catch your admission, and after you finish the Amidah, you have to say it all over again. If instead of Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem, you said Morid HaTal, which is the custom here in Eretz Yisrael and in certain Nuschaot and Chutz La'aretz, then you don't have to repeat. And Talmud Mutar has its rules, and everything that's added to or changed in the Amidah has its rules. None of them are a given. So when our sages said, it's okay, you don't have to repeat, we get a feeling that, yes, it was important to say that it was Hanukkah or Purim, but it's not the end of the world if we don't. Be more careful and make sure you say it next time. And even if it's only the one day of Purim and it was the Seudah, Purim Seudah, and you left out Al Hanisim from benching, you don't repeat. So they felt that it was not that crucial to the validity of the Amidah to require us to repeat if we had an omission. When it comes to reference to rainfall, when it comes to asking for rainfall, leaving out a mere two words can sometimes fatally flaw the entire Amidah. They could have said, our sages, if you leave it out, then at least you ask for a blessing, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, and be more careful next time, and plenty of other people ask for rain, so we'll let you go this time. But they didn't do that. They said, if you do not refer to God in his involvement in weather, or you do not, when the season comes, ask for rain when you're supposed to, you invalidate the whole Amidah. That means 19 blessings that you recited are tossed in the garbage heap. They are invalidated. They are bracha livatala. And you have to say the whole thing again. That makes a very strong case for our taking rainfall seriously, realizing how important beneficial rain is to the people of the world and for us in Eretz Yisrael, but it goes for the whole world, how devastating a flood can be, and a cyclone, and a tornado, and a tsunami and heavy rains which cause flooding are not blessed, and a drought, the lack of rainfall, is a devastating thing. So we're asking a very serious and sensitive, we're dealing with a serious and sensitive issue of rainfall. And by organizing the rules, the little details of what we say and what happens if we don't say it, Chazal, our sages, were giving us a message that rainfall is a serious thing. But there's another lesson also, which is at least as important, and maybe it trumps it. Pardon the expression. I say that with a smile. Because it's not enough for us to really, really, really be serious about rainfall if it were not for one other major thing. And that is an absolute, firm, heartfelt belief that God is in charge of it. We could take rainfall seriously. People could be very serious about rainfall. But if they believe it is merely the absorption of clouds, of water vapor, and dumping it here and high front there and a low front there, and has nothing to do with the supreme being, with God, then we're lacking something serious there also. So when we take our prayer for rain, and I don't mean only that which was on Shmini Atzeret Simchat Torah, I'm talking about our daily, three times a day, referring to God as the one who causes the wind to blow and the rain to fall, and when the season comes for us in Israel, the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, outside of Israel, December 5th or 6th, whatever it is, I'll let you know then. We are stating, not only do I take rainfall seriously, but I believe with all my heart that God maintains his mastery of the world and of creation. And it was not just a long time ago that he created the world and said to the people on it, goodbye and good luck, I'm off to do other things. It is HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Maseh V'Reshit. God, in his goodness, renews creation every single day. That is why we need to be serious about Mashiva Ruach, serious about Talu Matar, and understand that the little details are meant to help make us serious. Now, this is all in not preparation, but we're not mentioning, which we are in the now, the fact that next week in Parshat Noach, we talk about rainfall in a very destructive form, the most destructive ever possible, of destroying almost the entire world. And it is the month of Mar Cheshvan that the flood took place or began. And it is the month of Mar Cheshvan that we start asking God for blessed rain. It's not just rain we're asking for, it's blessed rain. But again, it's because we take rainfall seriously, and because, more importantly, we take God's mastery of the world and his continued supervision of this world very seriously as well. I will say, on that note, let me wish you Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, and L'Hish Tameah. But I want to finish with a song, one of my favorites, which belonged to Simchat Torah, and it really belongs every single day. Ata horeta ladat ki Hashem hu ha'elokim ein od milavado. We need constant reaffirmation, confirmation, reminders of God's unique oneness in being the God, the only God. And if we do it in the culmination of the Tishrei holidays on Simchat Torah, and we say Atohareta Ladat, we also have that same feeling every single day and every single prayer of every single day, that all of these things, all of nature and all of our human experience, are to teach us that Hashem Hu HaElokim, God is the Lord, Ein Od Milavado, there is no other in His place.
Yeah.